Hello and welcome to Condensed Histories with me, Greg. Yes, it's one of our solo episodes this week. We'll be back again next week with Jem as well. But this week, it's just me wanting to talk to you. And boy, isn't it a strange time. It seems really weird. We're not quite sure what's happening with the podcast numbers at the moment. I'll be honest, with everything that's going on in the world, a lot of people have stopped commuting. They've stopped travelling to and from work, which means they've lost their podcast listening time. Other people seem to just have a whole load of time around the house. They're doing jobs. They're listening more. Really interesting to see our figures changing day on day. It also means that we're not travelling. Now, as you know, the idea of my episodes is to talk about our travels and travelling and everything else. That is starting to get slightly difficult in terms of actually going out and travelling. Obviously, we've been in lockdown, the same as you have. There's no chance that I'm going to be heading off to foreign climes anytime, certainly in the next 3 months. Who knows how long after that before we can actually get back to travelling and making our travel videos. However, having said that, there is some good news, because at the beginning of March, we were travelling, which means we've got another video coming out. And if you are listening to this on the day it goes out on Wednesday, then hopefully, all being well, as long as we get the final tweaks done in the edit and the render goes right, this will be out tomorrow, Thursday, the 2nd of April. That will be when our new video comes out. If we get it slightly wrong and you don't see it up when you go looking for it on the evening of Thursday, the 2nd of April, it should be up by Friday, the 3rd of April. But we're aiming for a release tomorrow night, Thursday, 2nd of April. If you go online tomorrow, check my Twitter feed and everything. That will announce it as soon as it goes live. Please go and have a watch. But while we've got a big video coming out, I might as well talk a little bit about some of the ideas behind it. So, first things first, our video is set in Romania. We travelled across to Romania, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. Before we went, I didn't really know an awful lot about Romania at all. I knew it was in Eastern Europe. But I think most of my preconceptions actually came from reading Dracula many, many years ago. And that was quite convenient, because actually we were going down the route of looking towards Dracula and his story. And this is kind of what I want to talk about on this podcast. I don't want to go too far into the details of what we actually did and what we actually saw or anything else. I want you to go and enjoy the video. But of course, I'm going to have to touch on some of the bits and pieces. But what I actually want to talk to you about is the idea of us as travel filmmakers, which is what we do there, running straight up against me doing the history podcast and all of the history stuff I do. You see, the thing with all the history stuff I do is we aim for accuracy. Now, you know full well that Jem and I make mistakes on the podcast. You know, I make quite a lot of mistakes on the podcast, and Jem has a habit of immediately correcting me. It's why very often I'll say something on these solo episodes and pause for a moment, and so I'm waiting for Jem to come in with a correction. But when we do those episodes, and particularly when we do the argument episodes, as we've said before, we don't know what the other person is going to say, and both of us have some slightly vague, obscure areas of history that we know about, and we also have, if we're doing an argument episode, we'll also have researched down different lines, and so we'll be bringing out ideas, and we'll be dragging up bits of history from the back of our minds. Now, when we set out to make a travel documentary, we don't overtly have to worry about historical accuracy, because we're not making a history documentary. We're setting out to travel. So if you saw Mexico, Mayan Mystery and Marine Majesty, our very, very first travel documentary, we did talk a bit about history there, and there we went to the Mayan sites. But we weren't overtly worried about making sure we went in with all of this history laid out that we wanted to talk about. We drop in a little bit of history here and there. We mention different things. We talk about the end of the Mayan era and stuff like that. But generally speaking, it wasn't a historical documentary. It's not a video that's filled with dates and facts and all of this stuff. And I did have a bit of fun, poking a bit of fun at the history side of myself in that particular video when we were in El Tajín, which is where I do my wander through the reliefs showing how the Mayan ball game is played, and I do my own historical interpretation trying to figure out what they mean, and it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. In fact, the weirdest part of the whole thing, I think, is the one bit that I actually got right. But because of our family rating, I shouldn't even mention that on the podcast. You're going to have to go and watch Mexico, Mayan Mystery and Marine Majesty to find out about that yourself. By the way, all of the travel videos that I'm talking about, they are all free to watch on YouTube. You can just go over there and watch those if you want to watch them. Then please do me a little favour, subscribe. It's Greg and Felicity Adventures on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel, you can leave a comment, you can ask any questions, things like that. So, then we get to Romania. And when I first suggested we go over to Romania, my idea was to go and really focus on Dracula. But the two different sides to the word Dracula. Because if I say Dracula, some of you will immediately have conjured up either the old Gothic book or possibly a slightly campy modern version of that book. Something a bit silly, something a bit over the top. You know, ridiculously bad, ever so slightly racist Romanian accents, all of that sort of thing kind of comes in when you start to picture Dracula in your head. Others of you will have gone down a slightly more historical line and you'll have started to think about Vlad Dracula, the Wallachian warlord who from the 1400s. And we decided we were going to look at both of these, briefly look at the castle that's supposed to be part of the inspiration for Dracula, but really, most of our travel is focused on trying to find out about Vlad Tepes, Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Dracula. And this is where I had a lot of trouble until about halfway through our journey, because I was really trying so hard to make sure everything was historically accurate, everything was backed up with hard evidence all the way through, and we kept making comments and I go, oh, before we stick that in a video, I'm going to have to go back and check that. And then about halfway through, I hit a couple of realizations. The first realization was we weren't making a historical documentary. Now, it's slightly more complicated than the Mexico one because this one does cross backwards and forwards along that line between being a travel documentary and more towards a historical documentary. We are tracking a particular historical figure as we go around Romania. We are talking about historical points and they are guiding the journey. But at the same time, we're not going out there to produce purely a historical documentary. The whole point of the video is you can watch us traveling. The same as all of our other videos, it's focused on the moving around and what things we see and different places we go. And some of them, I'll be honest with you, as we get towards the end of the video, there are a couple of bits at the end that have absolutely nothing to do with Dracula. They have more to do with the things that we enjoy. So watch out for that coming up at the end of the video when you get a chance to watch it as well. The other realization that I had was that actually we were fighting a losing battle if I only wanted to include things that we could actually prove happened. Because once you're dealing with the subject of Vlad the Impaler, you suddenly realise that there is really a lack of hard evidence whatsoever. You can try as hard as you want to find it. And Felicity kept coming to me with different things, different stories about Vlad and different ideas about Vlad. And for a long time, I got really stubbornly into my historical, oh no, we can't use that, there's no evidence for that, oh no, 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 we've got to have hard evidence. And well, when I eventually decided to try and find out where the hard evidence was, because everything I kept saying was, yeah, but what are the sources? That is what we as historians say, isn't it? We say, what are the sources? Yes, we've read this in a book, but where did that person get it from? What is the source? What is the historical source? What is the basis? Where is the evidence? Well, when you start looking at Vlad the Impaler, there are basically three different versions of his life that were written. And they were all written shortly after his death, but these are the three main sources for everything. And each one, and I say written, one of them wasn't even written, I'll come back to that in a second, but these three sources all have a particular slant, a particular angle. One of them was written by the Germans, and this was very much being used as a propaganda piece to paint Dracula as bad as it gets. This is where we get, you know, oh, he impaled tens of thousands of people, he shoved them up on spikes. Anything bad that they could possibly think of, slash, I believe, probably imagine, they shoved it into this. Then we have the Russian version of events, which kind of paints Dracula as a good ruler, a good, decent ruler. Yes, he was hard, but he was a ruler. And then the third point is really quite interesting, because it's not a written history at all, but it was the oral tradition of history from the people actually within Wallachia themselves, what is now part of Romania. Their actual traditions, the people that he ruled, their oral history, never written down until much more recently, but that oral history paints Vlad as a bit of a hero. You know, this great, bold, almost like, I suppose, in a way, a King Arthur-y sort of figure. This heroic warlord that just takes care of the country. And here's the big problem for Vlad's image overall, is the fact that the printing press had recently been invented within 50 years before his death, which means that the German version of events, that was the one that got printed into pamphlets. And suddenly this story, this gripping story of this evil dictator warlord going around impaling people, suddenly became this story that fascinated people. And so that is basically the story that everybody outside of Romania started to digest, started to believe. That is where we get our impression of, well, as I say, Vlad the Impaler. We don't call him Vlad Dracula, as a general rule. We call him Vlad the Impaler. They even started to distort the name Dracula. Dracula actually means son of the dragon. Reason he was named that, his father also was Dracul. His name was given to him. He was part of the Order of the Dragon, the chivalric order. And he decided that he wanted to join this order so he could use the name Dracul. And so all his sons actually could have used the name Dracula to describe himself. Most of them did, but Vlad Dracula is the one who tends to get given the name. Thing is, the term Dracul can mean dragon. It can also be interpreted as devil. So suddenly people were interpreting Vlad Dracula as son of the devil, which sounds so much darker and so much more sinister, and wasn't fair at all. You can see how things start to get more and more murky. So you start to kind of move a little bit towards Dracula's side, taking his point of view just that little bit more, because you think, well, hold on, if all of these people were slandering him and everything else, maybe he didn't do anything wrong. Well, let's be clear, he definitely did stuff wrong. Even in the nicest versions of the story, there is no suggestion that he didn't impale people. He was definitely impaling people. We're just talking about numbers. And impalement, I'm not going to go into details here, but when you see those nice images of somebody just sort of dropped on a spike, on a stake, that seems grotesque enough. If you think of thousands of people just lined up and with a spike shoved through their chest, that isn't generally the way it was done. It was done as a form of torture. The idea was actually to try and pass this spike all the way through a person without them dying. So with that in mind, suddenly anyone who can do impaling is slightly worse. But the whole point I'm coming back to here for a history podcast is I was facing a dilemma, because I was looking for evidence to back things up and I didn't have any. And so eventually I just had to turn to Felicity and say, look, we can't edit this as a history slash travel documentary. It's more a story of a legend. Not quite mythology, but certain a legendary figure we're dealing with. It would be the same as if I decided in this country to go off and make an episode, one of our travel videos, about Robin Hood. And it would suddenly get really, really confusing, because I'd go, okay, right, we'll start with Robin Hood. Well, who do we talk about? Let's talk about Richard the Lionheart, good King Richard that Robin Hood's fighting for. Well, hold on a minute, because good King Richard, you may have heard me had a go at Richard the Lionheart before, because I think he is one of the most overrated. His legend, Richard the Lionheart, oh, he was great. He went off and fought in the Crusades. Of course he went off and fought in the Crusades. He loved fighting. There was nothing heroic about it. He just seemed to enjoy it. That's opinion, but the way it seemed to be. And the idea that Robin was looking after England until Richard returned, well, it's a bit rubbish, because Richard actually spent about 3 months in England throughout his entire reign. And if you've ever seen him played by either Sean Connery or Patrick Stewart, they got it wrong because he didn't even bother to learn to speak English. Richard Lionheart was basically French and not this huge English symbol of Englishness that sometimes he's painted to be in the legends, and in particular in the legends of Robin Hood. You got the evil Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham. Well, the Sheriff of Nottingham was just collecting the taxes he was supposed to be collecting from some points of view. And he's got these outlaws in the woods stealing from people and then deciding their own form of wealth distribution to the poor. I mean, I know he robs from the rich and gives to the poor. I've never quite understood the actual economics of that. Is he got some sort of system to make sure everybody gets an equal handout, or is he just nicking money and giving it to his mates? Which kind of, from the stories I've seen, is what it sounds like. But that's just before you get into the details. Suddenly we've got grey lines about Robin Hood. And then you actually get into the question of, well, hang on, where are we going to go? We're going to do this travel adventure all about Robin Hood. Where can we go? Well, we can go to Nottingham and see the castle at Nottingham where the sheriff would have lived. There was definitely a sheriff in Nottingham. Trouble is, will we find Robin Hood there? Will we find any evidence that Robin Hood was ever in the castle? Well, I've seen loads and loads of films and read books where Robin Hood sneaks into Nottingham to do the archery competition. But guess what? Actual evidence is thin on the ground, because we don't actually have any evidence that Robin Hood existed. Okay, forget that. Tell you where I can definitely go. I can definitely go to Sherwood Forest. Well, I can go to a little bit of Sherwood Forest. Sherwood Forest back in Robin Hood's day was huge, stretched most of the way across the country at that point in time. There's a little bit of it left though, so I can go there and I can go to Robin Hood's tree. Now, obviously, that is the beeline. If I was going to do that particular travel documentary, I'd go, right, we'll go straight for Robin Hood's tree. I have heard Robin Hood's tree isn't quite old enough, and you go there and it's a tree. I'll be completely honest, I'm not entirely sure what the point of Robin Hood's tree is. I don't think he had a tree house in the top. I certainly don't think he lived inside, so it was just a tree that he leaned against sometimes. That's the absolute best theory I've got for what. But they call it Robin Hood's tree. Oh, this is where Robin Hood and his people camped out. Now, I'm not saying they're lying, I'm just saying there's no evidence to support that fact whatsoever from anywhere I've ever heard, considering that there is very little actual evidence that Robin Hood himself existed. He's probably an amalgamation of different characters. I do realise, as I'm saying this, I am opening myself up to quite a lot of danger, because another legendary figure, King Arthur, many, many years ago, I know that Jem wrote a piece about King Arthur for his History Gems Facebook page. If you don't follow his History Gems Facebook page, you should go and do that as well, because he does history every Monday. But he wrote a piece one Monday, we're going back 5, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. He wrote a piece about King Arthur, and just the response it got from some people when he said that King Arthur was a legendary figure and might not actually be real. In fact, I think he probably said he wasn't real, but based on real people. The amount of people that really disliked the suggestion that King Arthur wasn't a historical character, that wanted to say, oh no, well, we know he was real. He's definitely 100% real. I don't know whether the Merlin the Wizard was real. I don't know whether the dragons were real. I don't know how much of it is actually real, according to those people. But once you start messing with a legend, you have to be quite careful, because it will upset people that just believe wholeheartedly in that particular legend. Which brings me back once again to the video that I'm actually supposed to be talking about, all about Romania. And it was complicated for us. It was complicated for us from so many points of view. One was balancing out trying to keep it historically accurate with no real history. So we were trying to stay accurate to a legend, which again seems slightly odd. Now, this legend has certain basis is in fact, we do have record of where Vlad the Impaler was born. We do have record of where he probably died, things like that. But it's all kind of probably and circa this and most likely here, most likely there. Now, we do have a couple of places where he definitely ruled from, So those are places you can actually go and see. We know that those were the center of power at that point in time. That sort of thing is very useful. And then you start to dig down layer. And so we had to kind of decide which version of different stories we chose to include, which versions we chose to follow. And the whole way through, I think if you watch the video, you may well be able to pick up at various points in time. I'm actually struggling with this storytelling versus historian mindset. My mind is just bouncing backwards and forwards between the two in a way that I think Felicity probably found quite difficult at times, because I think she was much, much more ready to do the correct thing from the start and just tell the legend, go straight down the legend route. It took me a long time to realise that was going to be where we had to go. If you want to see how well we actually managed to walk all these fine lines, oh, and the other fine line, of course, is because we've got these two different sides of things, while I was doing my research, people get quite vitriolic about whether Vlad is a good guy or a bad guy. If somebody puts up a video, and we could have done this, we could have gone down the route of trying to create a controversial video just to get views. I'm not really that kind of person, so we didn't. We've tried to balance everything. But if you were to stick a video on YouTube just saying, Vlad the Impaler, wasn't he a great guy? He was the best guy in the world. And I mean, this is Godwin's law just writ large. The number of people I saw on a couple of posts about Dracula that said, and these were not posts that, to be fair, were just completely shining a great light. They just said, you know, he did some good stuff. The number of little comments underneath, well, no, he wasn't. He was as bad as Hitler. How dare you say anything nice about this man? He was like Hitler. Which, again, is ironic considering it was German propaganda that pushed people to think down that route. Of course, if you just paint him out as pure evil, those Romanians who look to him as a folk hero, they're going to be incredibly upset. And we were in Romania, and so we were taking in local culture, we were speaking with local people, and he is seen as very much as a folk hero by an awful lot of Romanian people. And so you can see how well we've managed to walk that fine line between history and legend, and managed to walk that fine line between history slash legend documentary and travel adventure video, the fine line between trying to be a factual documentary and being a fun travel show, the fine line between saying Vlad the Impaler is the best guy in the world and the worst, most evil guy in the world, all of those different threads come together in our new travel adventure video, which will be on YouTube, certainly by the weekend, but whenever you listen to this, if it's after Thursday evening, it is worth going on there. And do me a big favour, go look on YouTube, search for Romania Seeking Dracula's Castle. It's Greg and Felicity Adventures. Subscribe to us on YouTube. The earlier you get a chance to sit down and watch the hour-long documentary, the better it does for us. YouTube actually ranks and classifies on so many different things. It's got this hugely complicated algorithm. But the main things it wants to know is, did people watch it? Did they enjoy it? And how quickly did they start watching it after it was uploaded? And when you take all those bits together, that is how YouTube decides which videos it's going to rank highest in searches. That is how it decides whose videos to push. And we really, really are proud of this video. We'd really like to see this one pushed out there. So as soon as you get the chance after hearing this, head over there, search Romania Seeking Dracula's Castle. Watch the video, enjoy the video. Please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like the video, and leave us a little comment underneath. Something you liked about the video, something you want, any questions you have about the video, anything like that. All of that is incredibly useful to us. That is the end of this little episode. Remember, we will be back again on Tuesday when I think off the top of my head it must be time for me and Jem to have another argument. But for now, thank you all so much for listening. Goodbye and take care.